Hello and welcome to the very final Monday Waffle for 2017. I'm Poppy Penny and with me is Jared.
We're at the end, Pop. We've made it.
We absolutely have. This is it. This is the last one.
But I think we're going out on a pretty good game to go over. The grand final, of course, controversial in some ways because of alignment issues, but in the end, it was still a fantastic game in the wet.
It was. It was a really good game of footy. And I mean, I know there was a bit of concern around about whether it will be a close game with the Peel having those alignment players in. Yep. But I mean, all in all, Subi were on top pretty much most of the game. But
Subi brought it.
Oh, absolutely. Sure. But Peel, I mean, they were just too good in the end. They sort of overran them a bit in the last quarter. And obviously, congratulations to Luke Ryan winning the Simpson medal.
Yes.
Really impressive. I mean, I don't think he'll be winning it next year because I don't think he'll qualify for the finals.
I think Ross might have a look at this performance of him earning a Rising Star nominee this year for the Dockers as well and probably go, mate, I think you're a bit too good. Let's keep you in the firsts for a while, I think.
I think he'll be spending some time in purple, hopefully.
Yeah, well, for you, definitely, as a Dockers fan. But we should say, Subi, they had their chances. They kicked themselves almost out of that game, albeit it was miserable weather, so you expect a few behinds here and there.
But 14.
14.
I mean, and in that last quarter, they had a lot of opportunities running into the forward 50. I mean, they absolutely peppered the goals in that last quarter. Adam Cockie was running in a couple of times and sprayed it left to the same spot both times. And I mean, I know that the weather was bad.
Didn't even score with those kicks.
No, didn't score with either of them. Mm. And I know it was bad weather, but I mean, they really did kick themselves out of that game a little bit, despite the fact that they tried hard.
They did try hard. And Peel also didn't get it easy. They were two players down almost with Zach Dawson. He went down pretty early in the game. Your favourite man.
My favourite man. Although he did kick the first goal of the game and he had a goal assist. He only had two touches. He was irreplaceable in that team.
He got thrown in the midfield too. Remember that point?
I tell you what, he's a star of the game and the AFL is simply poorer without Z Dawson.
Well, he was his final game, so it's a bit sad that he had to go out and he couldn't play out the whole game and be injured on the bench, but
hobbled
he still
up,
earns
hobbled
the medallion.
Up for a medal anyway.
Yeah, good on him there. And then also Josh DeLuca.
Yeah, copped a really nasty corky in that first quarter and pretty much hobbled for the rest of the game. Congratulations to him for playing the whole thing out because he looked sore from that first quarter. He had massive strapping on that thigh.
He would have had an aggressive limp, I think, in the days afterwards in the celebrations. I don't think he would have wanted to walk too many places.
No, I mean, you know what? Down in Mantra, I don't think they would have had to walk anyway. They would have had the locals carrying them around, cheering them around around Mantra down the Hayden Ballantyne wing. We probably should mention the final score of the Waffle Grand Final for 2017. It was 11-6-72 Peel Thunder getting over Subiaco 7-14-56. So a pretty good win in the end for Peel.
There was some issues though we have for Cam Sutcliffe after the game. News came out. It wasn't really noted at the time. When we were watching, we pointed out to each other that someone had been hit behind play.
And we didn't really see much of a replay of the incident, so we had no idea who'd knocked them down, whether it was on purpose, whether it was accidental, whether they were in trouble.
But with the brilliant use of video replay today, it was Cam Sutcliffe, the Peel aggressor, who looks like he's hit Kyle Halligan of Subi, and it's been graded not... Okay, let's put it this way. If he was graded to be intentional, so it would intentional, low impact, but high contact, there is a risk that he would miss, if he gets suspended for that, he would miss a month of AFL football next year.
A month of AFL footy?
Because the ruling is if you get suspended or fined or whatever in a Waffle Grand Final, the loading is 100% extra. So if it was two games, up to four games. No matter if it's an early play or not, it's a month of AFL footy. So I think he was a bit nervous because the commentary in the game said he sent his elbow straight into his jaw. But the tribunal today sat and, well, it's only a reprimand.
Yeah, well, the tribunal's got a bit of a habit of that this week because I think there was a certain AFL player who may have charged his shoulder into somebody else's jaw and he got off too.
Zach Dawson. So I'm not throwing names under the bus, but that's what happened, everyone.
Well, he got off anyway.
So I also want to point out the aggression in the game. We say Subi didn't... They kicked themselves out of the game, but they also went into the game with a pretty aggressive attitude towards one Matt Tavener at the start of the game.
I tell you what, before the ball had even bounced, the siren hadn't even gone yet to start the game, and they were over there hip and shouldering him all the way into the forward line, and then as he made his way back up the ground, he sort of copped him. It was like a pinball bouncing between all the Suvi players.
I wonder what the score would have been if that was a pinball machine.
I'd say you'd be getting the high score. Now, let's talk stats a little bit.
Absolutely. That's what we do here on The Waffle.
While Suvi did pepper the goals, there was one man who we have not addressed all year on The Monday Waffle, and I find it dead hard to believe.
That's
Ben Sokol kicked 4 goals. Maybe he's just a big game player, but we actually said at the beginning of the game, maybe this will be the week we talk about Ben Sokol, and here we are talking about Ben Sokol.
And it was a well-deserved performance. Yeah, as you said, 4 goals.
4 goals zip.
Well, according to the stats here, he's the one they should have been kicking it to. He was dead eye, did not miss 100%, and just, he didn't look like missing.
No, he looked confident going back for every single one of his shots, and I mean, the Subi coaches and fans would have been hoping it rubbed off a bit on his teammates, but unfortunately it did not.
Right. Unlike Kyle Halligan, who got hit by Cam Sutcliffe, maybe that would have affected him. He had 4 behinds and not 4 goals.
See, they had their chances, I'll tell you what. Notable though, Chris Phelan is back from that knee injury that he got mid-season. And huge return for him. I mean, we talked about it last week, whether he should be included or not.
Yep.
30 touches and 1 goal won.
It's like he hadn't missed any football.
He is a very handy player, I tell you what.
Like I said in the podcast last week, Chris Phelan's Chris Phelan.
That's exactly right.
And that's news to everyone, I think.
Jared over here dropping truth bombs on the Monday Waffle.
Can I point out a stat, though, that I've told you about before the show, but I think it's still amazing.
We're both very excited about this stat.
So, it's hitouts. Underrated at some points in the league. So let's go with Subiaco's hitouts as a team as a whole. 23 as a total.
And let's just reflect on the fact that they've got Lachlan Delahunty, who was a total gun, has been a star all season.
Absolutely. He himself, with going stats, he had 19 touches. So well done to Lachlan Delahunty with 18 hitouts. However, he's going up against a man called Sean Darcy, a new recruit for Fremantle.
Holy moly.
And I think he proved his point that he's probably at the next level for football and might also be wearing purple a little more.
Yeah.
73 hitouts by himself. 7 followed by a 3. 73.
And that is not a typo. And on the day, he was hugely dominant.
Oh, no. He just looked a class above, that guy. He only had the 9 touches, but
Who cares?
When
you got 73 other touches of the ball, he's probably in bed now with leather poisoning, the poor fella.
73 times he hit the ball to a teammate.
Well, hopefully.
Most of the time. But you'd prefer that. And then Brennan
he's
Cox.
Giving you first chance at the ball.
Oh, and then Brennan Cox, another man who might be wearing purple a little more often, 22. So he had one less than the entire Subiaco team.
Oh, my God. And he was playing second fiddle a lot to Sean Darcy. I mean, I think Sean Darcy was a bit ripped off this season not to get a Rising Star nominee in the AFL.
That amazed me, for sure, yeah.
But I think he's eligible again, and I dare say he'll be playing a lot more footy in the AFL level. So maybe Delahunty will have a chance next time they play Peel.
Oh, you're already calling Peel. They're going to could be at the grand final again.
Who knows? It depends how many of those Dockers get a game.
There might be a rule
Peel.
Change. There might be another rule change coming in.
I have a feeling there will be, because the uproar at the lineups that they had all the way through the finals probably warrants at least some rule change. I think maybe it should be that you have to have played at least 50% of your season at Peel, and you can't have played more than, say, 10 games with the Dockers. Yep. I think that's the same in the
Sandful. Yeah. So if you play more than half of the games for the AFL side, you can't play for Port Adelaide's Sandful side.
Is it the same for Adelaide?
I believe it's the same for Adelaide, but I'm not going to quote that because I'm not too sure. That's the example I was told.
I think that's a good system, because it gives those players less of an advantage because they haven't played against the hardened bodies. I mean, what is it, 5 games for the Waffle?
Yep, 5 games to qualify.
You could play 5 games at the beginning of the season, have Ross Lyon go, wow, you're really good, like exactly what happened with Sean Darcy, and then all of a sudden you're in a Waffle Grand Final and you've got, 73 hitouts.
But then there's also, it's easier than that, or almost to get a game as well, because with Harley Bennell,
They cheated the system, didn't they?
They just named him on the list and never made him play, and that counts. So, who knows? Maybe there probably is going to be a rule change. As you said, with team lineups, when we mentioned them on the Facebook page, that they created the most traffic of the entire season, which I think proves a point, if anything.
I think so. I mean, when people are getting fired up on Facebook, you know it's a serious issue, Jared.
And again, thank you guys for following us on the Facebook page. We try to keep you guys up to date with everything there. But in the end, Peel did win.
They were the better team. And I mean, realistically, they played really well. I mean, look at Niehaus. He kept Liam Ryan, who was the Bernie Naylor medalist, not for no reason. He kicked the most goals this season. Kept him goalless in a grand final. It's not going to do Ryan any help in the draft.
No, you would have liked a good grand final performance.
I'd say so. He had such a great year this year. It'd be hard to see anyone passing him up. That is good for players like Niehaus coming out of an AFL season where he was a bit in and out. Good for his confidence, I guess. And he was actually singled out in Cam Shepherd's speech at the end of the game for his performance against Liam Ryan. And so that was pretty impressive.
But Poppy, there's some hard luck stories when it comes to a grand final, because someone's got to miss out. And for Peel, well, it's John Griffin. He made way for Brennan Cox. He's a Fremantle player, John Griffin. But I think he's losing his place to some up-and-coming stars like we've already talked about.
Yeah, and again, Cam Shepherd did speak about him in his speech, saying, you know, there always is some hard luck stories. And it's the same deal on the Subi side. Obviously, you've got Phelan coming back in and Kennedy came back in as well. Both of them really unlikely to play, but they managed to come up. And so Greg Clark and Chris Bryan were the two who had to make way. And it is so unlucky for those boys. And yeah, then also you've got Hoskins, who played every game up until the prelim, where he missed with a hamstring for the prelim and then just couldn't get up for the grand final. He played in every single one of those 19 undefeated games.
I know. So he's technically undefeated.
Yeah.
He hasn't played in the losing side.
No, he did his hammy in the Peel game where they lost.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
well, that ruined my point. Thanks, Poppy.
Sorry for that, but someone would have picked you up. Some of our avid listeners would have
absolutely
picked you up.
I would have been caught out there. But yeah, bad luck for those guys.
It is tough to miss out on something like a grand final. Yes, they didn't win, but I mean, it's still really hard to miss out on running out with your team, and especially working so hard for it. And the season that Subi had, there was always going to be some tough decisions for Jared Schofield to make,
especially in the last game at Subiaco.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle. Oh, yeah.
Come on. So we did farewell Domain Stadium on the weekend. Us and 18,180 other Waffle fans all got down and said goodbye.
Now, they braved the weather. It was pretty miserable to start with.
Did clear up beautifully, though, didn't it?
The footy gods wanted to send the finals off nicely. And, yeah, credit to everyone that came down. If you're listening and you went down, I hope you had a great time, because we certainly did. Just, it was a great atmosphere. And, Poppy, what's your... Go on. End of an era at Domain. What's your favourite memory?
Well, it's not a Waffle memory, but I mean, kind of relevant, talking about Frio and all the Frio players. But my favourite Subiaco Oval memory is watching the Dockers make the grand final in 2013. I was there with my dad, and it was probably the most fun I've ever had at a footy game. There was 45,000 people there. We knew we were in it by probably three-quarter time, if I'm being cocky.
Yeah.
And with 5 minutes to go, the whole crowd was chanting MCG, and it was just fabulous. It was the best game of footy I've ever been to, and I just loved it. What about you?
Well, mine was also with my dad. Way when I was much, much younger. Look, we went to watch an Eagles game. Can't remember at all the score or anything like that. I was that young. I don't know if we won or not. But then afterwards, Dad and I went and played kick to kick outside in the park. And I don't know why I remember it so much, but I do. So that is my fondest memory. I must have had a great time.
So thanks to Domain, well, Subi Oval, really, for giving us so many great footy memories, both AFL and Waffle memories.
Absolutely. They did kick to kick again, the last kick to kick in Domain after the final siren and the speeches, with a band playing as well. So credit to the Waffle for organising all that.
Put on a great show, didn't they?
I mean, it was a bit dangerous. The footballs were flying everywhere. We were on the pitch, and it was a bit nerve-wracking not gonna get knocked out, but
I was very on edge.
She was on edge. I can confirm that. I can definitely confirm that. But everyone was having fun. The music was good. Just good vibes all around. Poppy, once the kick to kick was winding down, we went down into the rooms, into the winners' rooms, Peel's rooms, and well, if you haven't heard it yet, this is what the song sounded like.
That that was a pretty heartfelt rendition of the song, although it did take all the players about 5 minutes to get from the field to the rooms. They just sort of straggled in, really. You had half a semicircle waiting there.
And then you had all the fans. This is a bit of a rant coming on now. So neither Poppy and I are the tallest people in the world. So
Correct. We
found a chair in the change rooms. I got myself up on it and held my phone up in the air to film it. So if you wanted to see what the cheering was like in the rooms, check out the Facebook page. It's got the video on it. As you say, we were waiting for so long. I was holding my hand up in the air. I had dead arms. I think I was getting, you know, pins and needles. But finally it happened. And that was a crazy emotional response.
It was really cool. Just to be in the rooms with a team that had just won their second premiership. A lot of those boys were finishing their careers on that day. Look, yes, they finished AFL careers, but I mean, I don't know if they'll be playing for Peel next year. They may move on to a different club. They may play amateur footy. Like Zach Dawson, Garrick Ibbotson, they're not coming back, really.
No, and I mean, yeah.
They had great games. I mean, yes, Dorso got injured, but he did kick that miraculous goal. Team Dorso, still Team Dorso. One more year.
No, I think he's done. I think he's cooked.
But to be in the rooms with the happiest 23 people in Perth, if you include Cam Shepherd, was just really something special. And Jared caught up with Cam Shepherd amidst all of the celebrations.
So, Cam, obviously, congratulations. 2017 premiers back-to-back. What's the feeling like?
Well, I think by the noises behind it, we're really excited. It was a great game. And, gee whiz, the Subiaco side played wonderfully well, but I just was so proud of my boys and their ability to respond when challenged, especially in the third quarter. So it was a wonderful win.
Did Subi throw anything at you that was different to last time you took them on?
Oh, Jared's a pretty innovative coach, so he pulled his forwards a bit deeper and he played seventh off the back, which he does regularly. So nothing different, but they certainly had a different attitude.
Were there any standout performances from your players in this game, or was it a good group effort?
We always think it's a group effort, but I think Ryan Nyhouse's effort on Liam Ryan was outstanding, and I think Luke Ryan won the Simpson Medal for a reason, because he's a great intercept player. And you know, apart from that, I think it was when you're 20 players, so Zach Dawson was out early in the game and Josh DeLuca was battling. You know, I think it's every player stood up and played really strongly.
And tonight, what's the plans for the rest of the celebrations?
I will head down to Mandurah in a bus. No doubt have a great bus trip and then we'll have a good time down there and no doubt catch up with these wonderful group of players in the next couple of days.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
So, Poppy, I just want to take a quick moment on the final show to thank a man that helped make this show possible, and that's Steve Tuohy from the WA Football Commission.
Yep.
He gave us the ability to go to all the games, get this content that we've given you guys throughout the season, and give us this inside access. I really want to thank Steve Tuohy for all the work he's done. And then in the grand final, he was kind enough to allow us to sit in the media box, which is kind of like a dream for us up-and-coming sort of sport fans, or any sport fan in general. It was an amazing experience.
Totally. Up-and-coming, hopeful sport journalist to be able to sit in the media box at Subi Oval and watch the last ever game. I know I felt pretty special and pretty lucky sitting in there. Mm. We've been so privileged to witness some fabulous games and fabulous moments from this season. We've
Absolutely.
Seen some huge milestone games. My personal favourite, I watched Liam Ryan in a game against Subiaco take the best mark I've ever seen live. AFL Waffle, it was phenomenal. The crowd from both teams got out of their seats, and it's how I imagine everyone felt when Jeremy Howe took that mark.
Robbed he was.
Oh. When Jeremy Howe takes any of his marks, really.
Yeah.
It's the kind of mark that gets both team supporters out of their seats going, oh my goodness, did that really just happen?
Exactly.
What about, did you have any moments this season that you thought, wow, this is amazing?
I had plenty of those kind of moments, but I'm taking my tact here with, my favourite part of the season was going into the rooms after the games. Now, that's where it's local footy, with all the local fans, all the diehard fans of the Waffle who've been around for years, and every song just seems to be sung with such gusto and vigour, and you just It's such a happy environment to be in. So my favourite part was going into the rooms, chasing down players to have a chat to us, and that was my favourite part.
And those clubs just seem to adopt people. All of the fans that have been diehard fans for 20, 30, 40 years, they are invited in the rooms after every game, whether they have a connection to a player or not. They are just embraced by these clubs, which survive because of the community. And so congratulations to all those clubs. And a massive thank you to all the players that did take the time this year to have a chat with us, especially after a big win. Absolutely. I know you want to be in there celebrating with your mates and not standing outside the change rooms, especially if it's wet and cold talking to us. Mm. But every single player that we asked for a chat was phenomenal. They gave up their time and we're just really grateful, aren't we?
Thank you very much, guys. It's not lost on us how awesome it was. It was a great experience and good for the fans.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Jarrett, I have a bit of an end of season game for us.
I like games.
Excellent. Okay, so I'm going to throw some scenarios at you,
mm-hmm.
and you're just going to throw back an answer.
Okay.
What's the headline you want to see in the off season?
Oh, the headline I want to see. You know, I want to see a headline that says Jarrett Schofield takes an AFL job.
There's one going at the Gold Coast, I hear. I would like to see that Liam Ryan has gone in the first round in the draft.
That would be pretty cool.
Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, absolutely. Surely someone's going to recognise his talent.
You'd be mad not to. And if he goes in the second round, I will march up to all of the clubs and ask them why. All right, worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario? Well, to me, I've thought of this for a while. If Perth lose Clint Jones to an injury, that could be a season-long injury. Oh, dear, geez, I'm scared what would happen. You?
Hayden Schloeth injured before the draft.
That would be shocking. Yeah, that'd be so unfair.
He's had a cracking season, and I think, and I mean, I don't mean a hammy tear. I mean an ACL or something that's going to put him out for 9 to 12 months, because that will ruin his chances of getting picked up. They're not going to pick him up, put him on the rookie list.
He's old enough already.
And he's going to be injured for 12 months. That's my worst case scenario. Who's got the most at stake?
Most at stake? I've kind of taken a different tact. It's partly AFL related, but it still counts because they played waffle. If Harley Bennell doesn't perform at AFL level after such a long layoff, injury layoff, if he doesn't perform at top level and gets dropped back to the waffle for form, oh, God. It's like when Eagles put Lewis Jeddah and put him in East Perth. It's the same thing. And Poppy, what is your most at stake?
Subiaco and their bounce back from this defeat.
So like a premiership loss hangover.
Yeah. I'd love to see them bounce back bigger and better. That's my most at stake. Who's going to win the Sandover next year?
Well, I think if Chris Feeling stay healthy, if he can perform like he did in the grand final every day of the week, every week of the week, every month of the week, every year of the season.
A lot of weeks, Jarrett.
Everything, he's got it in the bag.
Wow. My Sandover prediction is conditional.
It sounds like a cheat, like a cop-out.
No, I think it will be Kyle Horsley.
Okay.
But that's based on the fact that I think Schloeth and Tim Kelly will be drafted. If they're not drafted, I think it'll be one of them.
Right. Following? So you're picking three.
No, I'm picking Kyle Horsley on the condition that his two biggest competitors get drafted.
Okay, well, we'll let it slide. I'll let that slide.
Thank you. Wooden Spoon.
Wooden Spoon. That's Perth for me.
Oh.
I think East Frio will be better than what they were this season. So
I'm picking East Frio as my wooden spooner. Yes.
Who do you pick as second last?
Perth.
Oh. So we're just alternating. Okay.
I mean, I think Perth have had it this year. They'll probably jump up to second last. So, I mean, it'll be a huge season for them. And finally, Premier 2018 Waffle Premier is
Subiaco.
Yeah, I can't argue with you.
Mm-hmm.
2 votes for Subi, and we've both got them winning the Sandover.
Yeah, we do, actually. So Subi is going to have a good year again. I don't see why they won't. It'd be a serious fall from grace if they do anything worse than second or third.
Exactly. And speaking of good years, we have had one here on the Monday Waffle, and this is it.
It's almost sad. It's really grown on me.
Me too. I've really loved it.
But all good things must come to an end. But never fear, though, diehard listeners and Facebook followers, we won't be back next year. There'll be a new, brand new lineup, brand new team.
And you may love them even more. Unlikely, but you may.
Well, it's fair enough. It's been pretty fun here. And so we hope you enjoyed the ride with us. But as we sign off with every Monday Waffle,
thanks for listening.
Thanks very much to everyone who listened to the Monday Waffle this season. It's been a pleasure to be one of your hosts.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle for season 2017.
Thank you very much for listening. I'm Jared Gardner.
And I'm Poppy Penny. And you've been listening to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.